Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. I am honored that you chose to invite me to your holiday here. This is a brilliant Thanksgiving special. A little warning on this one. It's going to have some distasteful themes of cannibalism. So if that's a little too much for you on this happy day, then no hard feelings, and we'll see you next week. I'm Alan Brill. Welcome to Brilliant, a podcast from the mind of Brill. Warning, it gets dark in here. My first course for you today is called A Delicate Question. Four men stood on the deck of a ship and come to the conclusion that it was time to ask the delicate question. Aghast and horrified, the men stared at each other, but finally they agreed the time had come. There was no other choice. This being decided, Owen Coffin went and got the captain's log. He flipped to the back of the book where the blank pages were. He ripped a page out and then ripped it into four strips so everybody could see, and then he shortened one of them. They put it in a hat, and they each drew a strip and held their arms out together at the same time and opened their hands. Turned out Owen had the short strip. Well, his cousin George Pollard, who was the captain of the ship, cried out, no, I'll trade you, I'll do it. But Owen said no, it was his lot, and it was his honor to do this. And he separated himself from the group. Well, George went to the logbook and tore out another blank page, and this time only three strips were needed, with one of them shortened. And they passed it around, put their hands in the middle, opened it up again, and this time Charles had drawn the short strip. He screamed and said, no, I won't do it, and ran to the other side of the ship, and they all waited for him to calm down and come to the conclusion that he must do his lot. He came back with a heavy heart, and the men all gathered together and had a moment of silence. And finally, Owen raised his head as a signal that it was time and walked to the edge of the boat and got down on his knees. And Charles went into the forward shaft and got a rifle out and loaded it. He walked up to Owen, who was just looking at the sun one last time, and Owen set his head down on the edge of the deck, and Charles did his job as executioner and shot him in the back of the head. He then quickly removed Owen's head and set it out away from the others so they wouldn't see his face, and got busy with the butchering of their good friend. See, the delicate question was asked because they were the last remaining crew members of the Essex, which was disabled by a well 3 months before, and slowly all the men were dying of starvation or exposure, and in order to survive, they ate them as they had to, but then it was down to those last four men, and somebody had to sacrifice himself to ensure that the rest of his crewmates survived, and Owen was the one that drew that straw. Or in this case, a strip of paper. 17 days later, they were rescued. Charles and George were the only ones left, the third man. He succumbed to starvation and exposure 5 days later. They had been drifting for 3 months at that time. And when the rescue ship pulled up, they had a horrific sight. The deck of the boat was just full of skeletons, and Charles and George were on opposite sides of the ship, hunkered down, gnawing on the bones that was left of their shipmates. Truly a horrible spectacle, but none of us know what we would do if we were in that situation. We can only pray that we never have to ask the delicate question. This is a tale of cannibalism, but I think more of a empathogy, which is the consumption of human flesh, rather than saying cannibalism, which was where, it's done for the joy of it, I guess. So this was done for survival and tragic events of the Essex. The delicate question. My second course for you today is the story of Swift Runner, the Wendigo. In 1879, he stumbled into the St. Albert Mission in Canada, and with a heartbreaking tale of how he had to stand helplessly by and watch his family starve to death over the winter. Well, this story was immediately met with suspicion because his 6'3" frame was filled out to well over 200 pounds. He never looked healthier. This clearly was not a man who was battling starvation all winter. Well, a party was formed to go back to his winter camping grounds, and they had Swift Runner lead the way. Well, he was not in a hurry to lead them to the actual campsite, so they walked around the wilderness in circles for a few days before finally one of the members of the party had this bright idea, like, hey, let's get him drunk. And it worked. In his intoxicated state, Swift Runner led him back to the cabin, and they were met with a horrific sight. This is horrible. The bones of his family were scattered about all over the place. A lot of the bones were broken where he had snapped them to suck the marrow out. There were kettles with the flesh boiled onto the side still, almost like a coating it like almost like a soap where the fat had cooked in. Well, you know, they had seen enough. They took him back as a prisoner and threw him in jail awaiting trial. And while he was there, he made a confession to Father Leduc, and, you know, I'll paraphrase it. But him and his wife, his six children, his mother and his brother all went to the winter hunting grounds. And at first he said game was plentiful. Everything was great. And then around about February, he got very sick. And by the time his health recovered, the game had left. There's no game to be found. They began the slow process of starvation. They even had eaten their dogs. Well, in desperation, his mother and his brother took out farther afield to see if there was game. And Swift Runner could feel the change coming over him. He could feel the spirit of the Wendigo. And he told his wife and his kids to follow his mother and his brother to get him out of there. But his 10-year-old son just stubbornly refused. He would not leave his side. Well, a couple more days passed, and he was just so filled with the devil, with the Wendigo, that he walked up to his son and shot him in his head. His son still lived through this, but he stabbed him. I mean, the damage was done, and he ate him. And a few days later, he went into the woods to find some more game. And unfortunately, he ran into his wife and his remaining children. And although they didn't believe that the other child had starved to death and they were somewhat scared of him, they had no shelter, they had nothing, so they went back to the cabin. And he could feel the spirit of the Wendigo coming over him once again, and he fought it off as best he could. But 2 days later, and his wife had noticed what was going on, and she was planning on taking the kids and leaving the next day and just trying their luck out in their forest. They're so scared of him. But he got up early that morning, and first he shot his wife, and then he took a hatchet to his three daughters and dismembered them. He left the 7-year-old son alone, and his son, weak and confused and starving, didn't know what was going on, and he sent him out to boil snow for water and began to butcher the rest of his family. Then he said, and I'm going to quote him here, "My little son and I lived for 7 or 8 days on the flesh, I eating the flesh of my wife and children, and he the flesh of his mother and sisters." Yeah, that's chilling. Well, they made it to spring, and the ducks returned to the lake, and food was plentiful, and they began to regain their strength. And even though they had game coming in, they had food coming in, the spirit of the Wendigo still would not leave them alone. And he killed and ate his 7-year-old son. Now, during the trial, this sick, twisted man pointed out that, hey, he didn't harm anybody else's children, just his own. I guess maybe somehow to him that justified it. Of course, he blamed it on the spirit of the Wendigo that overtook him and drove him to cannibalism. Well, it took a jury about 20 minutes to find him guilty and sentence him to death. And on the 20th of December in 1879, on a day that was negative 40 degrees outside, they hung the Wendigo. Well, hey guys, I hope you have a tremendous Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening to my dark tales today. It's a little twisted, but that's what you're going to get from time to time here. And I hope you have the most happy and wonderful of holidays. And I'll see you Saturday for the regular show. Keep it weird.